Hi there. I'm Megan.
And I'm Danielle.
And we are Crime and Roses.
We are a true crime and bachelor franchise recap podcast.
Yeah, we're both.
We are two Georgia attorneys watching and recapping all things Bachelor just for you.
So we're talking Bachelor, Bachelorette,
Bachelor in Paradise, Winter Games, Summer Games, all the games.
Basically any show that ABC comes up with and forces us to watch, and then we'll release a true crime episode connected to what we've seen on the show that week.
So if you don't like true crime, we have The Bachelor. And if you don't like The Bachelor, we have True Crime.
And if you don't like either,
we're probably not the podcast for you, and that's okay.
So, if you're into one of those things, both of those things, come check us out as we combine our two favorite things into one-stop listening shop for you.
So find us on your favorite podcatcher and on social media at Crime and Roses, and email us at crimeandroses@gmail.com.
Bye, love you, mean it.
Seriously Sinister discusses true petty crimes that may be disturbing to some.
Or could be easy listening to all of you psychopaths out there.
Names and places have been changed to protect the hosts legally.
Listener discretion is not advised.
Welcome to Seriously Sinister, the show that New York matinee called a playful but mysterious little dish. This is Trevin.
Wow, what a great review. Thank you so much to all of our fans. And this is Amanda.
Did you get the reference? I don't know if you've seen the movie.
Probably not. What's the movie?
American Psycho.
Oh, is that the one where he's like,
yeah.
And he's banging that chick and he's looking in the mirror and he's flexing his gun and he's like, Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
There's like a scene in the very earlier parts where he's on a date and he's like ordering for his girlfriend or whatever.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm going to have the roast duck or something and you're going to have the peanut butter soup. New York matinee said it was a mysterious but playful little dish.
Oh my God. I remember that now.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I love that. Do you love that movie?
Oh my God. Do I love it? It's one of my all-time favorites.
Is it?
It is. It's so funny and just so 80s and it is awesome. I love Christian Bale in that movie.
Yeah.
It's great. And that was actually directed by a woman.
Was it really? Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, I could go down a whole rabbit hole with this with you because I want to know, do you think that he's really killing these people? Do you think that that part is just a fantasy in his mind? Do you like his business card?
Oh my gosh. When we got our business cards, I almost made a joke and was just like, I hope that you got it in bone.
Right.
I don't know. It's so hard to tell. I kind of want to say that he didn't.
Yeah, I know. I kind of want to say he didn't also.
Because there were just a lot of things that he would kind of do and like he would say things blatantly in front of people and they would just be like, what was that?
Yeah, okay. I think it was all in his mind.
Yeah, I tried reading the book, but it was kind of hard to read.
Oh.
I mean, I can't read.
Did it have the mirror banging scene?
I think
in
so.
The book?
I only made it so far. I probably shouldn't have even said on here that I read it or tried to read it.
Oh my God. Well, Trevin,
yes.
Do you have a dreadful dilemma?
I do have a dreadful dilemma, which kind of ties into reading, sort of.
Okay.
My dreadful dilemma comes down to typos.
Oh no.
I make them.
Yeah.
And it makes me very upset. One thing that's been driving me crazy is my fat thumb keeps hitting the Q on my keyboard for my phone. So if I'm saying you are here, I'm saying you QRE here. And I'm always hitting the Q.
Yeah.
And it's like I will send it three times over and hit, and I'll just be doing it really fast and I'll send it with the Q every time. It drives me nuts. I've got two instances. Recently, I was doing some engagement with some fans.
Uh-huh.
And a person that I was commenting on, I said something about their art or something. And they're like, oh, you should follow me and keep up with my art. And I said, oh, yeah, okay. Gotta support all the creatures on here. And it wasn't until way later that I looked back and was like, oh my God, I called this guy a creature.
Of the night.
What I meant to say was creative.
Oh my God.
But somehow I said creature.
I thought you meant creators. Okay, creatives. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And so I just wanted to hide under a rock.
Did you respond again to them or did you just let it go?
I let it go. So he can be a creature. So that gave me PTSD to a time where I made a very bad typo.
Oh, God, tell me.
So in the early Facebook days, I don't think Facebook really has this anymore, but it used to be there was like the interests box and like favorite movies box, and you could just, it had like unlimited characters, so you could put as many movies or as many interests as you wanted. So for me, I have always been a big Marvel and Batman fan. I love superheroes, and so I put that one of my main interests were superheroes.
Uh-huh.
I typoed and put my main interest is super herpes. And that was there for years until I caught on later and was like, oh my God, I gotta fix this.
Super herpes?
Yeah, so I'm really into them.
So this was under your interest on Facebook, on your Facebook page. Okay.
And this was back when Facebook was king, you know?
Oh, and people were probably keeping up on that shit at that point. Like they probably know what you're into now, Trevin.
Yeah. So my dating life, probably, there was probably a reason why it wasn't very good.
It probably could have used some help there because of that.
Yeah.
I would
facelift there, but I found it and I switched the P and turned it into an O.
Oh my God. That is beautiful. Beautiful. I know for certain I have made some very awkward typos in my day, because I'm kind of that person that when I'm texting, especially, I mean, you've texted with me, I'm sure you know, I don't look at my texts. I just text them. I have a limited amount of time in my life. You know what I mean? If I'm posting something on social media or something, I double check that a lot.
Right.
But texting my friends, my family, they should know what I mean, right?
Like, right.
I know I've made some weird ones. I'll have to think about it, though. If I find a good one, I'll put it online. But, oh, I know I have. Oh, man, do I know.
We've all got a good typo story, so maybe that will have to be a Instagram story or something.
Yes, yes. Oh, perfect. Well, my dreadful dilemma, I guess it kind of ties into the whole typo thing. Maybe not really. Maybe I'm trying to make a connection.
too early for connections. We're in the beginning of the show still.
Right. You're like, it's okay. You have time. But no, I am actually struggling because I am unable to control the things that are coming out of my child's mouth.
Oh, okay.
I wish that there was a typo button that I could just click for a toddler.
Mm-hmm.
There's not, obviously. So here's my most recent example.
Oh, boy.
So you've met Lila, my daughter. She is 3. And she is learning all the words. She is learning what makes people laugh, what makes people angry.
Uh-oh.
She's figuring everything out.
And cussing makes adults laugh.
Right. Right. So she's very into expressing her love like a very loving young gal that she is.
She is a very loving child.
Yes, she really is. And so she began this cute little saga with telling us that she loves us with all her heart.
Yes.
Oh my God. The first time she ever said that to us, I just wanted to melt into the floor. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was just like, I love you with all my heart. Mm-hmm. And I almost exploded and died right there. But she gradually moved from that to, you know, saying, I love you with all my hair. I love you with all my eyes, you know, whatever.
Oh, weird.
And now her main one is, I love you with all my booty. Okay. Aww. And she knows it's funny and she knows people laugh, but we've told her, you know, okay, you don't just say this to everyone. Okay. You say this, you can say this to mommy and daddy, Gigi and Papa, you know, but let's just like, come on now. Right. Okay. So she had a doctor checkup recently.
Oh.
and all was well. When he was talking to her and asking her questions, she gave a couple weird responses, but nothing totally weird, right? Uh-huh. And we're doing the checkup, and it's going fine. And just to describe her pediatrician, he's very obviously good with kids.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a weird way of, like, connecting with kids. And he has kind of like a feminine edge to him a bit.
Mm-hmm.
We love him. So anyway, we're doing the checkup. It's going fine. I've kept her under the reins a little bit. She's not acting too weird. And we're about to leave. The doctor is walking out of the office. Everything looked good. My baby's still a giant, you know, telling me all the things he always does. He's walking out and he says, "Bye, Lila." And of course, this girl shouts across the room, "I love you," with, "Oh, my booty." And the doctor stops mid-door exit. He turns and looks at me and laughs and says, "What did she just say?" And I'm at a moment here. Do I lie? Do I repeat what she actually said? How do I explain this? Is he going to, like, write me up to CPS? You know what I mean? And so I went with the truth. That's the honest thing to do. And I said, "She said she loved you with all her booty. It's just something we say at home." You know, I'm trying to, like...
So you made yourself look weird, too.
I'm trying to make this as casual as possible.
You're like, "You're the weirdo for thinking this is weird. Get out
like,
of here.
Get out." I'm thinking, "Oh, God, what have I done?" You know, kind of like you said, I'm digging myself deeper into this mess. He pauses again after I say that, and he looks at Lila, and he goes, "I love you with all my booty," and walks out the door.
All right.
So this instance worked out for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried about the future and what this little girl's going to say to people. I can just only imagine what the future holds.
Yeah, I mean, she is your daughter and Jordan's daughter, and I've heard him say some stuff. So,
oh, God.
If it's a perfect combination of the two of you, you are in for it.
Oh, we are. We are. There's no doubt in my mind. But anywho, are you ready to share some top fives?
Let's get top fived.
I would give you a high five, but that was not a good one, Trevor.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Top five.
Okay, it's my turn to go first, right?
Correct. And if you do the same one as me, I'm walking out.
So help me. If you do this one, that's going to be very random of you, okay? So I would like to discuss the top five most dangerous birds.
Oh, no, not for me.
Are you you're afraid of fucking birds.
I am.
Oh, my God. I forgot all about that, Trevin.
Oy.
Okay, well, next time I'll do a top five facts about death, another fear of yours.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Can I make a guess of one?
Sure.
Is the cassowary on there?
Yes, that's the number one. I had never heard of this bird. How do you know that?
Things creep me out.
Excuse me, this thing looks like it has the head of a dinosaur and the neck of a chicken and then the body of a furry dog vulture.
Yes. And
is that a good description? I'm looking at a picture right now.
Yeah, I hate those things. And the funny thing is, they're not even known for their head horn. It's because they kick really hard.
But how tall are these things?
They're not that tall.
Yeah, it just looks like it's the size of a turkey, maybe.
No, it's definitely bigger than that. They're like the size of a emu? What?
Ew, they are?
Maybe a little smaller than an emu.
Emus are massive.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like an ostrich size or anything, but I mean...
So, okay, pause for the frame. How do you know this bird?
Oh, gosh, I've had so many run-ins. I don't know if your school did it, where they had the scholastic thing where they would bring the book fair in.
Oh, yeah.
And so I would always want something from the book fair, even though, as we said earlier, I don't know how to read. and then when they started carrying computer games, I'd be like, "Mom, I need a computer game," even though I don't. They're all educational.
Yeah.
There was always the big rage to have like one of the Guinness Book of World Record books because they were always like holographic and cool. And so I had a blue one. And the most dangerous bird was the cassowary, and I had a picture of it. And so I was, like, already afraid of birds, and then I thought, okay, this is the most deadly. I'm afraid of it. And then when we went to the Omaha Zoo, they had a pen of them. And I just looked down at it and just was so scared.
Wow.
Just looking at them.
I don't think I've ever seen one of these in person. I'll post it online, you guys, or you can just Google it right now. But this thing, it's the weirdest little creature ever.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry that I just spoiled going all the way to the end. But...
Oh, you're fine. I'll just go from 1 down to 5. How about that?
Okay.
So any other guesses, though? I mean, you know animals, right?
Yeah, I try not to know too many birds, but...
Did your parents have any birds on the farm, Trevor?
Chickens.
Oh, okay, okay. Number 2 on this list is ostrich.
Oh, I am frightened of those as well.
I mean, I don't blame you. So ostrich and emus are both on this list.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to be in the same sort of family. They look very similar to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the ostrich has a white neck and emus are usually darker, right?
Yeah.
But they have the same creepy neck, the same lumpy body.
Let's just body shame birds. I can do this episode.
And the creepy little dried up crusty duck feet.
Yes.
Oh my God. Okay. I know growing up, I was told that emus were not ones that you wanted to mess with.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they'll chase you and just like peck you. And I don't know. I don't understand.
I don't either.
Okay. So number 4 is, oh God. And this is a really hard one to pronounce. Lammergeier.
I don't know that one.
They are also called bearded vultures. There's that guy for you.
Oh, they're cute, that's for sure.
I mean, just stunning, really. They kind of have an owl body with a vulture face with a possessed eyeball and spiky hair on its head.
It's like something out of the Dark Crystals.
Yeah, it's really something to be seen. And then the last one is a great horned owl.
Oh, okay.
Which, I don't know, Trevin, if you have seen the documentary The Staircase.
Mm-mm.
But it's a very, it's an older one.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a huge conspiracy whether the husband murdered the wife or if it was an owl that actually attacked the wife.
Oh, wow.
It's a very weird situation. But I have heard so many weird stories about killer owls recently.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw this on the list, it made sense.
Interesting. I didn't even know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you don't want to piss off an owl.
Yeah. But an interesting thing about the cassowary, even though they have the weird horned head, and you'd think that the reason why they're deadly has something to do with the horn, it's because they have a really strong kick. And it says that their kick is strong enough to rupture a human stomach. So,
oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like you would assume looking at it that it's probably horn related.
That's genuinely, when I was going through this list, but I didn't read every paragraph on this because my God, they went into graphic detail. I couldn't even. But yeah, I just imagined it was because of the weird dinosaur head.
Yeah. No. I mean, I don't know if they use that for anything, but I know that it's the kick that will get you.
Oh my God. All right, you got a top 5 list for me?
Girl, I got a top 5.
Okay.
So I have the top 5, I don't know, I'm going to have a hard time wording this. The top 5 most killed killers with the most kills.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
We'll go with that.
It's 11 o'clock at night. We'll go with that.
And we are not night people anymore. That was for my 20s.
We're old.
Yeah. So I actually didn't know any of the names on this list. And I think this is all just serial killer related. So, you know, if you say Genghis Khan killed more people, Genghis Khan's not going to be on this list.
Okay.
Or Napoleon or whatever.
Okay. Okay. Well, tell me.
Okay. So number 5, Daniel Camargo Barbosa. He's from Colombia in Ecuador. Oh, sorry. This is coming from Wikipedia, a really easy source here.
Yeah.
Confessed to killing 72 victims. He strangled young girls in Colombia and was arrested, but he escaped from prison and he started killing in Ecuador. Rearrested in 1986, he was killed in jail by the nephew of one of his victims. So he's got 72 confirmed and as many as maybe 180.
What a piece of shit.
Yes. Number 4 is Mikhail Popkov, Russian.
Okay.
Nicknamed the Werewolf. Who was active for 2 decades in Angarsk, Irkutsk,
After sorry to any Russian listeners.
Yeah, please keep listening. I won't talk about you again. After being convicted of 22 murders in 2015, he confessed to an additional 59 murders, of which he was convicted of 56 in 2018.
Oh my God.
In July of 2020, Popkov confessed to more killings, bringing the total number of admitted victims to 83.
Ugh.
Sentenced to life. But he's still alive from what I can tell.
Wow.
And that's another thing, too, about this. A lot of these are pretty recent. Number three, Javed Iqbal of Pakistan, known as Kukri. Iqbal murdered 100 street children.
Oh, no.
He was arrested in 1999, thanks to a letter he sent to a newspaper, and was set to be executed in the manner described by the judge, who stated, "You will be strangled to death in front of the parents whose children you killed. Your body will then be cut into 100 pieces and be put in acid the way you killed the children." However, he died in custody before he could be executed.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
I have a lot of mixed emotions about that. Wow.
Yeah, I did too. So number two is Pedro Lopez. He is from Colombia, Peru, and Ecuador, known as the Monster of the Andes. Arrested in 1980 and convicted in 1983 of killing three young girls, but claimed to have killed hundreds. Despite being believed to be one of the most prolific serial killers of the 20th century, he was released in the late 1990s. And I'm pretty sure I
did some...
He was released, and I don't really understand why exactly. I looked it up, and I'm pretty sure they say they don't know where he's at exactly, and he's not dead as far as I can tell. 110 confirmed... 300 plus as possible.
Oh my God.
So that was weird too. It's like, so this guy might be out and about. And the number one is Luis Garavito from Colombia, Ecuador, and Venezuela. I don't want to go to Ecuador.
Yeah. My goodness.
Known as La Bestia, which is the beast. Confessed to killing 140 boys between 8 and 16 years old. Over a 7-year period in Colombia and neighboring countries. He is suspected of murdering over 300 victims, mostly street children. Garavito was originally sentenced to 1,853 years in prison, but this was later reduced to 22 years after he led police to many of the bodies of his victims. He is scheduled to be eligible for parole in 2023.
Oh my God.
138 confirmed, between 172 and 300 plus as possible.
Whew, Trevin, this was the heaviest top five I ever did see.
Yeah, and I think three of the top five aren't even dead, and one is on the loose, and one has the possibility for parole.
Yeah.
In 2 years?
This is insanity. God, I'm so glad we don't typically talk about these real true crimes consistently in stories.
Yeah.
I mean, that is terrifying. That, okay, one of them's just out there. Oh, okay, one of them could get out. Oh, okay, one of them just, like, oh, good God.
I just can't even wrap my head around the way the justice system in, I guess, Ecuador works. Like, I get it. I think Americans is kind of wrong and, you know, eye for an eye, killing people. You know, and plus, you know, you can always get it wrong and you're killing an innocent man.
Yeah.
I get that. That's messed up. But I think there's somewhere in between Ecuador and us right now, because a man who is on the list for the most murders somehow got 1,800 years and reduced it to 22.
Yeah.
Like, explain that to
me. What is going on?
And also, either he had the world's best lawyer, or there's just some sort of a weird loophole that it's like a magician sort of thing. It's like, you can fool us, but if you just show us how you do the trick, it's okay. We'll still think you're magic.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to kill a shit ton of people, and if I just show you where I put them, will you be okay with it? And it's like, actually, yes, we will.
Yeah, there's so many weird legal things, but ugh.
I found this really interesting doing, but then like after recording...
This isn't us.
Okay, so I'm going to rethink think this next time going forward. But it's still something to know, and it's very interesting that the top five are all that at least I have never heard of, and also are a lot more recent than we think.
Right.
It's not all 60s and 70s, and it's not all Americans.
Yeah. Wow. That is fascinating and horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Don't worry. We'll get in petty here in a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, is it story time?
It is, in fact, story time.
Okay. I'm going to be going first this week. And this has an interesting backstory.
Mm.
So, I've never actually done a story this way thus far. Usually, it's either a story that I have personally experienced, or a story from the news, or a story from a listener, whatever. This story was from a man that, I don't know how far in detail I want to go, but let's just say a stranger told me a story, and I'd like to retell it to you all.
I'm in.
Okay. In today's society, we are constantly on the go. We're always looking to get to places in a hurry, with the least amount of inconvenience and the fastest outcome. It makes sense that in this fast-paced lifestyle, we have to be constantly reminded by our vehicles to buckle up for safety by an annoying beeping, or told to leave something important in the back seat, like a phone, so you don't forget your child.
Can't leave without this.
But in the hustle and bustle that we call life, do we ever stop to think of the people who work in the transportation industry? More specifically, the people who transport us when we are unable to do it ourselves.
I am so wrong.
This brings us to Abdul's story, a story of mystery, intrigue, and tons of gasoline. A story of an Uber driver. Abdul was a middle-aged man who was raised in Kansas City by hard-working immigrant parents. He was taught to earn his keep in any way necessary. When it came time for him to find a real job, he tried out the corporate world and quickly realized it was not the lifestyle for him. Abdul loved nothing more than taking a long drive and clearing his mind after a long shift. One rainy day after work, he was stuck in traffic thinking about how much he hated his current job, when the rain clouds parted and unveiled a heavenly light. He followed the angelic light beam with his eyes from way up in the sky to all the way down to the car right in front of him. There, in all of its glory, on the car's rearview window was a sticker. It read, "Uber driver." From that day on, Abdul's life would be forever changed. He quit his 9-to-5 job and pursued his new career in the personal transportation industry. He loved making his own hours and being his own boss. Sure, most of the time he was either driving people to go get drunk, taking drunk people home, or returning hungover people to their own personal cars. But Abdul was a sociable guy and didn't mind the occasional drunken asshole. After the COVID-19 pandemic subsided, Abdul's Uber business started to see a major uptick. People were ready to stare into the eyes of other socially deprived humans and flaunt their quarantine haircuts.
Modern-day cult leader, that's a good look.
Booze was flowing throughout the city, causing his passengers' behaviors to become even more unpredictable. He thought he had seen it all until a woman named Jessica requested a drive. Abdul picked Jessica up from the downtown bar scene, which was a popular pickup spot for him. All was normal until he saw a drunken woman approaching his car. The woman looked to be in her mid to late 20s, and was wearing a romper that was most definitely giving her the wedgie of a lifetime. She was tripping over herself in high heels and appeared to have a pink substance matted up into her dirty blonde hair. Oh no, thought Abdul. Please don't let this be Jessica. Sure enough, Abdul's fear had become a reality as Jessica grabbed the car handle and plopped into his passenger seat. "Yes, Esme," slurred the obliterated Jessica. I need to go home," she muttered as her head thumped over onto his dashboard. Abdul stared at the now passed out woman and poked her to make sure she was still breathing. As tiny snores and drool emerged from Jessica's mouth, he began driving to the destination Jessica had provided for him. It was a decent drive in an unfamiliar area, but Abdul kicked back, turned on some smooth jazz, and let his GPS lead the way.
"Turn left down Bruce Street, Daddy-o."
After a good half hour of driving, Abdul began to worry that Jessica had provided the wrong address. They were in an abandoned industrial part of the city when the GPS stated,
"You have arrived."
He cleared his throat and said, Jessica, we have arrived?" Jessica whipped her head into the upright position as drool flung into the passenger window. "Where am I? Who are you? What are you planning to do to me?" she screamed out in terror. Abdul was shocked. "I'm Abdul," he said. "Your Uber driver who's taking you home?" "Abdul?" she screeched. "Like Paula Abdul? This is not my house. I'm calling the police, you murderer!" Abdul couldn't believe what he was witnessing. He had experienced difficult passengers, but he had never been called a murderer before. He quickly pulled up the address provided to him and showed it to Jessica. She slowly shook her intoxicated head. "Oh, no," she muttered. "I gave you the wrong address." With one eye open, she methodically and drunkenly typed in the correct address into Abdul's phone. "There you go," Jessica proclaimed as she slumped back over into the dash. As Abdul started the 45-minute ride in the opposite direction, he couldn't help but chuckle to himself. "This is going to be an expensive car ride," he thought, as a small smile came across his face. In the end, Jessica arrived home safely, and without a word, she slammed Abdul's car door behind her. Abdul left $150 richer and a free man. These are the stories we can all learn from and show how easily a situation can escalate to murder accusations. So, the next time you casually step into an unsuspecting Uber driver's car, please, for the love of God, don't be a Jessica.
Nobody wants to be a Jessica.
Sorry to all the Jessicas out there. Yeah, you're all beautiful in your own way.
Last week we had a Jessica. This week we got a Jessica. I'd say just steer clear of Jessicas for a little bit.
Jessicas are a no. I have a cousin, Jessica. She's lovely.
Yeah, I know plenty of Jessicas that are kind women.
Maybe they just all have a breaking point. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't piss off a Jessica. But I was actually told this story, and I don't remember the Uber driver's name. Obviously, I don't know the girl's real name. But this was a true story that I recently was just at my cousin's bachelor party and got an Uber home with my husband, Jordan. And this guy, I mean, I love talking to Uber drivers.
Uber conversations are good, generally.
They have seen some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always like to make small talk. I always like to talk to them. Our Uber driver was super cool. He had a very unique name. I can't remember exactly what it was, but this is a very, very true story that happened to him really recently. And I just thought, I need to share this man's story.
Well, it was a good story to share. Honestly, I just can't imagine being an Uber driver. I have a fear of that. My friend Tyler does it sometimes. And I know he has social anxiety. I've got it. And I have a hard time getting in an Uber by myself as not the driver. couldn't imagine being, it's like out there in the wild without a safety net, and like anybody can come in my car and have a conversation with me.
Yeah. Yeah. You do not know who you're going to get. And in talking to this man who the story is based off of, he actually had a really positive outlook on this whole thing because he told us, he's like, you know what? This is why I love working for Uber, because I don't have to directly get the payment from this angry drunken woman who thinks I was trying to murder her. Uber does that for me. And he doesn't have to schedule these, you know, meetups. It's done for him. So he seemed to actually really, really love his job.
Well, that's good for him. I've always had cool Uber drivers. I one time had to take an Uber by myself, and I had this weird dude in pajama pants. He was a weird white guy, and he was like complaining about Facebook drama in his life, and then said something about how people are stupid and we needed a new plague to like kill off those people. He said something about making certain people extinct or something. He kind of creeped me out.
When was this?
This was pre-COVID.
Oh, right before it?
No.
I'm blaming him.
This would have been, it would have probably been like 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, wow. I wonder if he doesn't feel that way anymore.
COVID happened and he was just like clapping like, yeah.
Like, geez, like, yeah. I would hope that his mindset would have changed.
Yeah, I don't know. He was weird.
Maybe he got real pants too.
Hopefully that Uber paid for some pants for him.
If the year 2020 has taught me anything, a lot of people don't wear regular pants anymore.
Yeah, that's true. It's changed me for sure. I wear fleece shorts as much as possible.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, technically the shorts I'm wearing right now, we're in the loungewear section, and the tag says sleepwear on them.
No judgment. I feel like we're wearing the same-ish shorts.
Yeah. They have a back pocket. That's for like a wallet or something. Oh. What you gonna need a back pocket for if you're sleeping?
That's true.
I say these are casual.
All right, Trevin, tell me a story.
All right. I've got a story. It's from the news. And that's just it. It's from the news.
Tell me the news.
All right, here we go. We've all felt the want to run away. Whether it be from impending evictions, unhealthy relationships, or just a bad case of the Mondays, we have fantasized about taking on a new life. It's only human to assume that the grass is greener somewhere else. At the end of the day, we never really take that chance. Maybe it's because, deep down, we are true to our responsibilities. Or we are just afraid that we may find happiness. Or even more so, we just like to complain. As a kid, I threatened my parents a lot with me running away. Whenever things weren't quite going how I wanted, I would tell them that I would just go live somewhere else. I had pushed it a few times, even going as far as walking out the front door and waiting somewhere nearby for an hour. Whatever the argument was that I was trying to win, my parents were never fazed. This was especially true the one time that my mother called my bluff. Late one evening, on the way home from shopping, I started throwing around hollow threats about running away. After having enough of my complaining, my mom pulled her van over and told me to get out. She insisted that she would make it easier for me, and that this deserted gravel road was the perfect starting point for my new life. I stepped out, she shut the door, and drove off. As I watched the van's lights slowly disappear, I realized I was completely alone. Instead of basking in this opportunity, I froze like a shy kid in a spelling bee.
Do something already.
Even though she eventually came back for me, I knew that I did not have what it takes to run away. This story is about a man who had the courage to do what I could not. But he will soon find out that the road less traveled goes straight through the Twilight Zone. It goes somewhere bad. Robert was a petty criminal who had a love for his job. Like the father character in a 90s coming-of-age film, he could never seem to stop working. When he wasn't stealing cars, he was shoplifting. When he wasn't shoplifting, he was trying to score free candy bars by hitting vending machines. He was so well known for his petty crimes that his friends would joke that he would probably steal a few hearts if he wasn't so ugly. Ugh. Unfortunately for Robert, all of his petty practice did not make petty perfect. Part of the reason why he was so well known for his petty acts is because of how many times he had been arrested. Through the years, he had gotten to be on a first-name basis with his local jailer.
Same time next week, Robert?
You know it, Agnes.
In the middle of the year 2020, Robert hit some hard times in his career. Over the previous year, he had been arrested on two separate occasions for crimes involving vehicles. The first was a possession of a stolen Lexus, and the second was attempted grand larceny of a truck. He was unable to convince the judge of his innocence and had a one-year stay in jail scheduled for later that month. For Robert, this was incredibly inconvenient. Not only did he not want to miss the second season of The Mandalorian, but he would not be able to commit crimes during his time in jail. With all of the stress of jail time, he sighed to himself, "I wish I could just run away and start a new life." Through many points in his life, he had said this to himself. But for the first time, it actually seemed like a good idea. What did he really have to lose? If jail is the worst thing that could happen, then he owed it to himself to try any measure necessary to avoid it. Just like Nick Fury in Captain America: The Winter Soldier, Robert decided the best course of action was to fake his own death.
I'm dead, motherfucker.
As Robert was a master petty criminal, he felt that all of his petty training had led to this moment. He would forge a perfect death certificate and live the rest of his days free and off the grid.
Woo-hoo!
After this deadly document had been completed, he gave it to his girlfriend to give to his lawyer. The plan went off without a hitch. His lawyer accepted the document and passed it along to the judge. After receiving word of this, Robert went on to live his new life in Pennsylvania. Or at least that's how it seemed. Unfortunately, Robert made a mistake from beyond the grave. Even after his countless hours on Photoshop, he forgot one crucial part of the process. He forgot to run spell check. There, under the issued by section, read Office of Vital Statistics and Registry. This prompted the court to do a little more digging, where they also found inconsistencies in the font sizes. After calling the Office of Vital Statistics, it was confirmed that the document was a fake. It was not hard to find Robert, however, as he had already been arrested in Pennsylvania for stealing from a Catholic college and providing false identification to law enforcement. In 2020, in an attempt to avoid jail time, Robert Berger faked his own death. However, no amount of preparation could compete with the one typo he left on his forged document. With the new charges of offering a false instrument for filing, Robert now faces 4 years of jail time, further stressing the importance of proofreading, thus proving that even in death, you cannot escape a bad typo.
Oh, man. Dude. Spell check.
Can you imagine being at that point and actually trying to fake your own death?
No. I feel like if you are going to fake your own death, you have to be fully prepared. That's not something you can do half-assed. You have to be okay to cut off ties from almost every single person you know. I don't know. You could maybe still, I don't know. Was he just planning to still be in a relationship with gal? And
I was wondering that same thing too. I didn't really think about that until I finished my story and you started talking there. And I was thinking, yeah, I mean, if they actually followed up and seen where she was, she's a ride or die. You know, she's going to pass along your fake death certificate to a lawyer. I'm sure she's probably in some sort of trouble now, too. So,
right.
I wouldn't want to let a lady like that go.
Yeah, yeah, seriously. Those are the kind of ladies you need to hold on to.
Yeah, I don't even know if Emily would pass my fake death certificate.
Yeah, I feel like that's a risky move. Because, yeah, I just don't see how you guys could ever live a normal life again. So I feel like you didn't really think that through. Plus, font sizes matter.
Oh, yeah.
Like, whoa, if you're going to forge a document, I just feel like this is not something that just any old person can do.
Yeah, I mean, the document online, it looks really good. I mean, to me, to the naked eye,
yeah.
I couldn't tell. And I mean, it must have looked pretty good if they were about to take it until they just noticed it was Registry.
Wow.
I just couldn't even imagine. I've always thought the idea of faking death was always kind of interesting.
Would you ever do it for any reason?
I just to see like how good the Facebook posts were. When I was younger, I had this idea, which I probably shouldn't even put this on here because somebody will probably steal it and be rich. But I wanted to write a movie about a celebrity who saw how much attention other celebrities got when they died.
Oh.
So the celebrity who's down on his luck fakes his death. And then all of his old movies become very popular and very good. And so his estate starts making all this money. But the kicker of the movie was going to be that he wanted to now do a comeback because he saw how popular he had become. And so it was all about him trying to come back and try to be not dead anymore and ride that fame.
Ooh, I love that idea.
Yeah, it would have been a totally stupid idea.
Oh my God, though. There's so many different angles you could take that, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an inner battle of, okay, am I going to be okay with this level of success, but never be able to publicly address it?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I just make myself look like a complete psychopath for doing this,
right?
And not, I don't know, there's just so many weird angles. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, all publicity is good publicity, right? So I mean,
that's what they say.
Even when a lot of actors lose their shit and kind of do something not like super bad, but
yeah,
just like have a big meltdown or something, people kind of like them more. I mean, when Shia LaBeouf went kind of weird, I mean, I loved him more after it.
Oh, I love Shia. I love him.
There was a couple different ideas I had for that movie. Like, would it be more kind of serious or would it be just complete satire where he actually just came back and then started making movies and they were just like, once dead, actor comes back. And I'm just like, we love him more. And like,
oh
like something
God.
Kind of goofy and Will Ferrell-y or something.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So that was always an idea I had.
Wow. That's brilliant. Nobody steal this.
If you steal it, I have proof that I said
it. Yes, exactly. Well, connections for our stories, really and truly, the only thing I can think is that both stories were about men who wanted to start a new life.
Yes.
I mean, Abdul hated his current job, wanted to become an Uber driver. And what was his first name? Something Burger?
Robert.
Robert, you know, he liked his current life, but he had to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So he was starting a new life for opposite reasons. Can you think of any other better connection?
No, that's pretty good. I just can't, you know, more about this Robert for a quick second. He just loved being a criminal. None
yeah.
of what I said was exaggerated for the story. He
wow.
was in trouble for stealing two cars. In the short amount of time that he was dead, he was already getting arrested again because he couldn't stop stealing shit.
Oh my God, sticky fingers.
If I was going to fake my own death, I would have a new set of hobbies and do new things.
Yeah.
This guy didn't even reboot his life. He just he just kept making the same old mistakes.
Oh my God. When you said if he wasn't stealing cars, he was like stealing food from a vending machine or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Like, those are just such drastically different types of crime.
Mm-hmm.
Like, bag of Doritos, car. Like, he just wanted to steal everything.
Yeah, it seemed like more of an addiction than a necessity.
Yeah.
Weird.
Oh, what weirdos, man.
So, yes, men constructing new lives.
What a beautiful thing.
Yeah, both in two very different ways.
Oh my gosh. Well, I hope that everyone is having a lovely week. Mm-hmm. I hope that you are all following us on social media. We have had the best time talking with people on our social media, answering people's stories, and just, I've been loving the DMs we've been getting. I mean, I'll put out a poll and people will be like, oh God, this is so hard to choose. How am I supposed to choose? And mm-hmm. I, you know, just little interactions like that, and they continue on to other conversations. I just love it. We love it when people have been reaching out so much more.
Yeah. I never mind taking time out to respond or talk or get to know somebody who reaches out and says something. It's just so fulfilling for me, and I know for you as well.
Yeah. Oh. I was going to say real quickly before we head off here, you know, to the normal person, this might just seem like an average comment on a post, but to me, I loved it so much because it was from one of our new listeners. And it really, I just feel like this one comment really just described us well. So the username is xxwannabe_anythingxx. So this is one of our new followers on Instagram. So shout out. But she commented on one of our posts that was like a episode description post. Mm-hmm. She said, "You guys are hilarious. I was so confused at first, but I was hooked. Congrats, y'all." I loved it so much because I do feel like if you're tuning in and you're a normal true crime listener, traditional, it could be a bit confusing at the beginning. But I just wanted to say thank you for everyone who not only has, you know, stood by us and our weird ideas and our weird stories, but genuinely enjoy looking forward to them each and every week.
Oh, yeah. We love thinking of different things to give you. And yeah, it just feels so good to know that we have this weird sense of humor idea and people are responding to it.
Yeah, it's validating to say the least.
That is the definition of what it is. Yes.
Oh God. Well, it's late, you guys. It is almost midnight as we record, and we are too old for this. So we're going to let you go.
Mm-hmm.
But why don't you give them a little word of advice, Trevin, to end out the episode?
I will give you a word of advice. No matter the crime, big or small, in the end, we are all doomed.
Doomed. All right, bye, guys.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Seriously Sinister.
If you have a true petty crime story to share, please email us at seriouslysinisterpodcast@gmail.com or send us a Facebook message.
If you would like to support our show, please subscribe and leave us a 5-star review.
Also, tell your friends about this podcast.
Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Seriously Sinister Podcast.
And on Twitter at Seriously Sin Pod.
Shout out to Trevin for writing all of the original music you hear and for producing our show. Follow him and his music at Fiesta Maiden on SoundCloud, Spotify, and Facebook.
And credit to Miranda Lucas for our awesome logo. You can find her on Instagram at MirandaLucas26.
All stories are written by myself and Trevin, and all stories are based on actual, true petty crimes.